Okay, so about a month ago, I made a video about Hocus Pocus, the 1993 classic Disney movie that's totally, definitely made for kids.
What are you supposed to be?
Madonna. Well, you know. Well, obviously.
How much candy have you had, honey?
Mom, I haven't OD'd. I haven't even had a piece.
And here we are, some 29 years later. Why not wait till 30? Who could possibly know? But all the same, Disney decided to bring back the Sanderson sisters for an all-new cinematic experience, which, oddly enough, would you believe is called Hocus Pocus 2. So what do you say we take a walk and check it out? I mean, come on, how bad could it possibly be?
But before that, really quick, this video is sponsored by Audible. If you don't know what Audible is by now, Audible is an online service that lets you download audiobooks, audio newspapers, and just like all kinds of spoken word entertainment. If you sign up now, you can start listening with a free 30-day Audible trial, which gets you one free audiobook that you can use for any title in their premium selection and keep forever. Now, on top of the premium selection, Audible also has thousands and thousands of all-you-can-listen audiobooks, original entertainment, and podcasts included in the Audible Plus catalog. Audible Plus is their new service that lets you download and stream as much as you want from thousands of titles, including all Audible original content. Now, Audible originals are exactly what they sound like. Audiobooks are some kind of like audio entertainment thing that you can't find anywhere else, or exclusive versions of books like The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, read by Nick Offerman, for example.
If you're looking for something to spend your free audiobook credit on, I would recommend the new Janet McCurdy book, I'm Glad My Mom Died. I mean, it is a messed up roller coaster of a story, but if you're at all interested in what it's like being a child star, or the show iCarly, or just like behind the scenes of what a tween teen show is like, this is a heck of a listen, I'll tell you that.
Sign up with my link, audible.com/AlexMyers, or text my name, Alex Myers, to 500-500, start your Audible Plus membership, and start streaming thousands of audiobooks today.
Okay, back to the show. So we start off way back in the year of 1653, and first thing we meet a young Winifred Sanderson, who you better believe has just about had it with everything. But like, same though.
How dare they?
No, Winifred Sanderson.
Surprise!
This is the worst day of my life!
Hey, you know, I said the same exact thing when I found out that the little Native American dude with the star on the Tootsie Pop wrapper doesn't mean nothing! Years of my life wasted, I tell you what!
I cannot eat! I am too troubled! It's the Turner boys off the in the Haybrook again?
Worse. I've been told I'm getting old and I must marry.
What? I'm sorry, is this girl like 15? Although, to be fair, that's also what growing up in Iowa was like, you know? I mean, there's kids I went to high school with who have, like, grandkids now, and I'm just over here like, well,
time to make a cartoon about Disney movie.
John Pritchett.
Reverend Trask arranged it. Said it was his duty since father died.
Did Slee say no?
Of course. Then I took the Lord's name in vain. Twice.
You did not. Yeah, so in case you hadn't figured it out for yourself, Winifred Sanderson is not just your average goody-good kind of girl, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she takes the Lord's name in vain, she has her hair uncovered, and sometimes she even walks around with her shoes improperly buckled. Okay, this is how it always starts. Next thing you know, she's gonna be working down at the Jebediah's Elbow and Ankle Emporium. But yeah, so the entire town is having a whole to-do about Winifred not wanting to marry the local dude.
I will mercifully give thee one more chance. Oh. Atone for thy disgusting words and agree to marry John Pritchett.
Ah, yes. John Pritchett, a.k.a. the hottest dude on Ticketh Talketh.
No.
Oh, praise God.
Blasphemy!
I apologize, Reverend. Tis only she is so ugly and unpleasant.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's real rich coming from you, John. Okay, I found your Wattpad username. I know all about your fanfic called That Time Sonic and Tails Both Got Me Pregnant. Okay, like, don't even start with me right now. Anyway, so after some back and forth, Winnie just decides to drop this bombshell.
If I shall marry anyone, it will be Billy Butcherson.
Oh, what?
Since we shared that kiss in the graveyard.
So like, okay, things start to escalate pretty bad and all three Sanderson sisters run off into the Forbidden Forest. And of course, wouldn't you know, they just so happen to run into this ridiculously hot mommy witch. Like, I mean, just, does anyone know where this forest is?
Why didst thou come into my woods?
We had no choice. They were gonna take my sisters.
Thou art different. They were right to fear thee.
Well, hey, would you look at that, Winnie? All the time you spent not being like other girls has finally paid off, okay? So who's laughing now, Rachel, from butter churning class?
Thy
power. Yeah, okay, this movie's getting kind of weird. Anyway, so moving on from that, long story short, this lady's like, happy 16th birthday, guess what? You're a wizard, Harry. And gives the sisters the magic book so they can, like, practice magic or whatever. And of course, the first thing they do is set the Reverend's house on fire. See, this is what happens when you take the girl who's read every Jane Austen novel and give her the Necronomicon. Okay, next thing you know, suddenly she's got this unquenchable thirst for vengeance. But all the same, we then do a hard cut to the far-off futuristic year of 2022 and meet our main characters, Becca and Izzy. Two high school friends who are just so gosh darn excited for Halloween.
Happy birthday!
Did I get you?
Yeah. Oh, incoming.
So what are you guys doing tonight?
Birthday ritual, scary movie marathon, same as every year, you know.
Things sure do seem a little awkward between these three. I wonder what could have led to such circumstances.
Hey, babe. Sorry I'm late. I decided to have two breakfasts.
Okay, never mind. No further questions, Your Honor. Yeah, so Becca, Izzy, and Cassie, this girl, all used to be the bestest best friends. But then, tale as old as time, wouldn't you know, this guy has to come along and ruin everything, like boys do. And now it's just Becca and Izzy, and Cassie's over here just trying to be like the cool popular girl or whatever.
Look, your dad is going to find out about your party, and when he does, you're gonna be grounded until at least college.
Why do you care? You're not even coming.
I'm not coming. Because we just heard about it.
Can't believe you guys are still doing the birthday ritual. We started doing that, what, when we were like 5?
Ugh, you guys are like doing things you like that you think are fun because you enjoy them. Don't you know you're only supposed to do stuff you actually hate but pretend is cool because someone else said it was? I mean, that's definitely way less pathetic, right guys? So Cassie ditched them for some boy, and now she's throwing a party, didn't even invite them, and if that wasn't bad enough, okay, you'll never guess who Cassie's dad is.
This carnival gets crazier and crazier every year.
Oh, wow. Cassie made it on the billboard this time.
Huh. You know, Cassie's family dates back to the witch trials. Must be why this is Mr. Trask's favorite holiday. Ugh.
That's right, would you believe Cassie's family is directly descended from the Reverend from the beginning of the movie? Huh, I wonder if this will become important later.
Come when got a birthday, right?
Yes.
Are you heading to your secret circle?
We actually don't call it the secret circle anymore.
Oh my gosh, remember when Cassie would bring like 10 flashlights with us?
Oh, where is Cassie?
She's running late. Oh. She had a mascara crisis.
Okay, wait, why are you covering for her? After what she did to you? Breaking the girl code like that? No. We march it on. Anyway, so later on, Becca and Izzy head over to what used to be the Sanderson sisters' house, which is now this gift shop run by this guy, Gilbert, who's just like really into the Sanderson sisters. Unlike me, you know, who also is really into the Sanderson sisters. Whatever, shut up, leave me alone. But like I said, Becca and Izzy head over to, of course Becca's one of those crystal girls. Why wouldn't she be? Although to be fair, the guy for the first movie's hobby was like, that he liked boobs.
Oh, Allison. You're so soft.
Max likes your yabos. In fact, he loves them.
Anyway, so they go talk to Gilbert.
When's your birthday?
You know, legend has it, it's on the 16th birthday that a witch gets her powers.
And like most legends, I'm assuming that's based in some sort of patriarchal fear of female aging.
Yeah, probably that too.
Well, yeah, hey, I mean, if you're still single past 25, it's all over for you. Although, if you're still single past 40, then you're legally obligated to terrorize a small farming town and kidnap the children whenever you want, so don't give up now.
But either way, I have a gift for your empowerment.
Ooh.
Just the thing for a young mystic.
Ew.
And so later that night, as part of their lame Halloween party thing, they head into the forest just outside of town and decide to light the candle that the guy gave them because, I mean, it's Halloween, so like, what else are you gonna do? And right that moment, you'll never guess what happens.
What the? How was that?
That's right, would you believe the candle they got was actually another black flame candle that was lit on a full moon on Halloween by a virgin, and now once again the sisters are back, even though they exploded into dust back in the last movie, but sure, let's do all this again. So Becca and Izzy lead them on a chase for a bit and circle back to the shop where Gilbert gave them that candle thing, you know, and then they're just like, what the heck, dude?
It's so incredible. I can't believe this.
I can't believe it worked!
Sonic!
What were they like?
No, what do you mean it works?
Did they sing?
That's right. So turns out this was all a secret plot by this dude to resurrect the sisters once again. Now you're probably wondering, golly gee, Alex, why would anyone do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So the story's that back in 1993, Gilbert was a kid in Salem who happened to kind of just like be on the sidelines and saw everything that happened between the sisters, Max, Danny, and Allison. And after seeing all this, his first thought was like, oh boy, I sure wish these older women would chase me around and lock me in a cage. Which I mean, like, you know, to be fair, I get it. I mean, we both saw Sarah Sanderson doing this part and we were just like, God, I've seen what you've done for others.
Wait, you knew that was a black flame candle?
Look, I am so sorry I had to trick you, but you mean I couldn't light the candle myself. It wouldn't have worked.
Well, why not?
So he used the book to make another black flame candle, and he's just been waiting for some young virgin to come into his store and... Wait, that sounds weird. He's been waiting for years for some cute, innocent 16-year-old girl to walk in and... Okay, this is not coming out how I mean it. He's been waiting for someone to come light the candle who can make it do what it's supposed to do, okay? Because apparently the best way to repel evil is the power of premarital sex. But okay, so now that the Sanderson sisters are back, Winnie doesn't want to just do the whole, like, make a potion, give it to a kid, suck out their soul thing, you know? Because that's never actually worked. So they head over to their old house turned magic shop and come up with a new plan.
If we were the most powerful witches on earth, nothing could stop us! It has been decided. We are doing the Magic High Maxima. The power spell.
But Winnie, you promised you'd never ever do that spell.
That was 300 years ago. That promise has expired.
Hey, well, promises don't expire, Winnie. Friendship is forever. So they plan on performing this super spell thing that the mommy witch told them never to do, but clearly these are dire circumstances. Now, to do this spell, they need a couple things. So they recruit Gilbert to go out and get most of the stuff, except the last thing on the list, which is blood of thy enemy. Because you see, remember back how we learned that the descendants of the Reverend guy are still in Salem? Yeah, so the sisters maybe kind of sort of want to do this one themselves, you know what I'm saying? Now, one of the things the sisters tell Gilbert to go get is the head of one of their old lovers.
The head of a lover. Ooh, yeah, that'd be a bummer because all of our lovers are gone.
Oh, but we could find new ones.
Nonsense. We'll simply dig up my old lover, Billy Butcherson.
But, you know, Billy was my lover.
Oh, Sarah, you were just a plague.
So he heads off to the cemetery to dig up Billy Butcherson. Now, I didn't mention Billy back in my first video because, like, he doesn't really do anything important. Like, he just kind of shows up, chases the kids around for a bit, and then his head flies off or whatever. But, like, in this movie, he's slightly more important, I guess.
Thou knowest how I died?
Well, yeah. Everyone knoweth the legend of Billy Butcherson. You were Winifred's lover, and you cheated on her with Sarah, so she killed you.
I shared one kiss with Winifred. One!
Okay, hold on a gosh darn second here. Billy says that they only kissed once, right? Which Winifred also mentioned.
Since we shared that kiss in the graveyard.
And then, according to the lore of the movies, he started dating Sarah Sanderson, and Winnie didn't like that, so she killed him, right? But, like, when Billy and Winnie kissed, Winnie was, like, 15, right? And Sarah was, like, 10? And because of everything we saw happen, they're, like, exiled from town or whatever, right? Like we see at the beginning of the first movie. So you're telling me Billy makes out with Winnie and then dates her 10-year-old sister? That's kind of messed up, my dude. Anyway, so much like the first movie, and by that I mean exactly like the first movie, the rest of the whole thing is just, like, a bunch of back and forth between Becca, Izzy, and the Sanderson sisters. Like, Becca's trying to stop them from doing their spell by protecting Cassie's dad, while Gilbert has to go around town getting all the other stuff with Billy, because if he doesn't, they're probably gonna kill him, I assume. And throughout all this, Becca starts noticing a little something strange going on.
Becca? Oh my god. This all in the Walgreens, the leaves in the basement, Cassie's house, 16th birthday. You're a witch!
Okay, sure, why not? Yeah, this movie's just like every girl on TikTok's dream come true. You go into a forest one night and then some hot witch tells you that you're just too powerful, my dude, and that's why all the girls are mean to you, because they're just jealous.
Thou art different, but they were right to fear thee. Thy...
Or like, if you finally collect enough crystals from your local strip mall, then one day they'll give you magic powers. I mean, this is like if I made a movie about some total loser weeb guy in high school who suddenly gets to be Tuxedo Mask from Sailor Moon, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just really on the nose here. But anyway, so thanks to Becca, the witches can't get Cassie's dad, so they decide to take Cassie instead because she has the same bloodline, so it all kind of works out, I guess. Although I feel like they're really overcomplicating this, because like, if I was doing this spell, it'd just be like, huh, the blood of my worst enemy, you say? Well, looks like it's the end of the road for your reign of terror. And so Winnie takes a drop of blood from Cassie, but somehow Izzy and Becca manage to save the day. Just kidding, the witches show up again. And oh golly gee, what are they gonna do?
Oh,
Power's meant to be shared.
No, please. Please tell me you're not gonna do this.
Becca, give me your hand. I'm caught up in the middle of something right now. Becca, give me your hand. Come on.
No, you're not. Is this really happening right now? The real magic was friendship. But like, that's literally actually the movie. Now in the end, the sisters are able to perform the spell and give themselves ultimate power, Magikai Maxima, Mantula Magna Navitas. However, the part of the spell that Winnie forgot to read states that in order to receive ultimate power, she has to sacrifice something of equal value.
The power spell? It takes what you value most.
Thought nothing but a silly child. Thou knows nothing.
Winnie? Winnie? The wind!
That's right, the price for the spell was her own sister's, just like how Cassie sacrificed her friendship with Becca and Izzy for the chance to be the popular girl and date the hot guy and then spend all her time listening to him talk about, like,
you know, Elon Musk really is the true visionary of our generation. Hey, you wanna listen to more Joe Rogan?
But you know, it's kind of funny, I think, how like the whole movie, they're trying to stop them from casting this spell, right? But in so doing, they cast the spell and then they cause their own demise. So like, nothing the main characters did really mattered. The end result would have been almost exactly the same if they had just done nothing the entire movie. Anyway, so watching her sisters disappear, Winnie's like, wait a minute, have I been the bad guy the whole time?
My doing has been my undoing. My folly, my fate. What is this feeling? Oh, I cannot bear this. I must find a way. My sisters.
Look,
I must find a way.
And so Becca uses the spellbook to cast some magic on Winifred, which conveniently also turns her into dust. And she, Izzy, and Cassie are all best friends again, and that's pretty much the end of the movie. So, okay, I mean, like, the movie's fine, I guess. It's very much heavily coated in nostalgia, which is obviously the point, but like, it really hits you over the head where it's like,
remember when they sang that one song in the first movie? Yeah, okay, let's do that like 3 more times. Come on, what do you say?
And like, the literal actual friendship is magic message is it's just so like... I mean, come on, really? And like, comparing this movie to the first one, the first movie's definitely a lot more edgy, I guess. Like, right at the beginning, Max meets these two kids who ask him for a cigarette and then steal his shoes. But then in this movie, about like 2/3 the way through, there's a scene where Becca's talking to Cassie's boyfriend about being nice or something.
I don't make fun of you guys.
Do you hear yourself? Okay, pointing out people's differences and saying that they're weird is making fun of them.
Whoa.
So like, the moral lessons of Hocus Pocus 2 is just about how like, the true magic is friendship, and also you shouldn't call people names. So basically this movie's just like every episode of Paw Patrol. But like I said, for what it is, it's fine. Completely unnecessary, but you know, I've seen worse, okay? So there's that, I guess.